All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we're picking up this week in Parshas Vayakel. So remember, just a little bit of background. So as we spoke about in past 2 weeks, we have a total of 5 parshios that are dedicated to the construction and fabrication of the Mishkan. So we have the parshios of Truma and Tetzaveh, and then again Kisisa. And although again in Kisisa, the dominant part of the parsha is the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, but there's still much detail that's given to the fabrication, creation of the Mishkan as well. And then, of course, we have Vayakel Pekudei. So remember again, although Vayakel Pekudei often looks to be repetitive of Truma and Tetzaveh, they are in fact separate and distinct. Truma and Tetzaveh is essentially the instructions. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu, well, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu the set of instructions to construct the Mishkan, the various kelim, various utensils, the Big Day Kuhuna, and Vayakel and Pekudei is actually when Moshe Rabbeinu commissions the building of the Mishkan. So Vayakel Pekudei, the actual building begins, and of course, Chumash Shmos, Parshas Pekudei, ultimately ends with the Shechina itself, the Divine Presence resting upon the Mishkan, ultimately finding a home in this structure built by Klal Yisrael. So in the midst of all of this frenetic activity, I want to share with you something very interesting. Torah says, number one, all of the wise men who had been doing all of the work, all of the holy work, each and every person in his own specific task, came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomru Moshe, you know, this morning we spoke a little bit about the amazing miracle, about how people were able to perform tasks for which they had no formal training, simply because they chose to believe in themselves. Vayomru Moshe. But they come to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, the truth is, this is a unique event, because never again, never before and never again, did this ever happen in a fundraising initiative. Vayomru al Moshe Limar, Marbim ha'am lahavi midei avodah la'amlacha asher tziva Hashem la'asos. Can you imagine such a thing? It's too much money. Too much money, too much gold, too much silver. Please, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's too much, we don't know what to do with everything. Now, in reality, remember again, if you think about it, you have Baruch Hashem, remember, we know based on the numbers of the men between 20 and 60. So if there are 603,000 and plus men between 20 and 60, so we know that there are approximately around 3 million plus Jews. So if you have this idea that everyone is contributing, which literally everyone is, it's only a matter of time until you have surplus funds. So they, and remember, this is not even about money. People are donating gold, people are donating silver, people are donating wool, they're donating all kinds of things. So the artisans come to Moshe and they say, literally, there's too much. There's too much. We don't have, remember again, so lest you say, just let them put it away, put it in storage. Remember again, if there's one thing the Mishkan did not have, it was?
Storage.
Why not? Because it was a mobile facility. Remember again, there is no place to start storing items. Therefore again, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, simply there's too much material that's being brought. Vayitzav Moshe, vayaaviru kol b'machane lemor. Moshe Rabbeinu puts out an announcement in the camp saying, Ish v'isha, ayasu od melacha l'trumas hakodesh, vayikalei ha'am mehavi. And something amazing happens. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you can imagine this, literally says, please, we are not accepting any more donations. Right? Amazing. We're not accepting any more donations. And the people listened. Again, everybody wanted to contribute. But again, I wanted people to contribute in a purposeful fashion. When Moshe Rabbeinu says there is no longer any more need, the people stop bringing. But Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, is what I want to draw your attention to. Torah says, V'hamelacha haisa dayom l'chala melacha la'aso sosa v'hoser. So the Torah says something amazing. V'hamelacha haisa dayom, literally, the work was sufficient, the work was enough. L'chala hamelacha la'aso sosa, in other words, there was enough material to be able to accomplish everything they needed to accomplish, v'hoser. And there was extra. Now what the commentaries point out is that there seems to be an inherent contradiction in the pasuk. What's the inherent contradiction?
They had enough, how did they have extra?
Oh, remember, the first phrase, v'hamalacha haisodayom, means they had enough for what they needed. V'hoser means there was extra. So again, remember, the Torah could just say what?
There was extra.
Just tell me v'hoser, there was extra, and then I understand. What extra means is, they had enough, plus. But why does the Torah have to say they had enough and there was extra. And again, although this may appear not like the most dramatic question one could ask on these parshios, these type of questions are always intriguing because remember, the Torah has no extra words. So by definition, anything that is written and included in the Torah is purposeful and necessary. So if the Ribono Shel Olam felt that the Pasuk had to be phrased in this type of almost superfluous, verbose manner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly trying to teach us something. So what are we to learn from this dynamic? V'hamalacha ha'isodayim, there was enough material, v'hoser, but there was also extra. Why the redundancy? So, God willing, I'm going to share with you tonight, in Meretz Hashem, four different approaches. Let's take a look at number two. So, two and three, the Sfarno and the Malbim, take a very, what we'll call, simple building approach. That's what we'll call it, the building approach. What's the building approach? So he says over here, V'amalacha ha'isadayim, so let's actually skip down to the third line. La'asos osava hoser, la'asos osa ha'malacha lehoser. Literally what the Pasuk is saying is, the people contributed enough that not only was there what they needed in order to build the structure, but there was extra as well. Now what's the idea? Why is that significant? Ba'ofen shelo hayat tzrichim letzamtzeim, ofen asiyasam midaga penyechser hachomer. Because imagine, remember, the Mishkan was a very intricate structure. The utensils are very intricate structures. So if the artisans only have a limited amount of gold, so that creates a certain amount of building anxiety. Right? You have to be careful. Well, we have enough for this. We have enough for this. We have enough for all different things. What the Torah is therefore saying is, the artisans were able to work with nachas surach, with a little tranquility of spirit. Why? Because the truth is, they didn't have to worry about running out of precious materials. V'amalacha ha'isadayim, they were able to do their job with a full and complete heart, because again, there was enough basic materials for them to do whatever it is that they needed. So again, there's another piece to all of this, and I say this every week, but it bears repetition every week, which is, remember, when we learn these parshios, the Torah is not simply communicating to us details regarding the Mishkan. The Torah is relating to us details regarding life. Remember, every single mitzvah has that two dynamic component, that dialectic. On one hand, there's the basic details that the Torah is giving over to us. Those details, for example, they are no longer applicable. We don't have a Mishkan, we're never going to have a Mishkan again. But there's a second level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a lesson. And that lesson transcends time. That lesson is eternal. So says the Sfarno, on a very practical level, what the Torah is telling us is, the people contributed with enough generosity that the artisans were able to do their work without having to watch and worry about every single speck of gold. There was enough surplus gold so they could go out and they could do their work without being mitzamtzim, without having to be worried about every single little bit of gold. On a deeper level, what do we learn from this Sfarno? We learn from this Sfarno that at the end of the day, if you want someone to be successful in life, you have to give them the tools to succeed. Sometimes we expect things of people. We want people to accomplish things. We want people to live up to certain expectations. We want people to live up to certain ideals. But you have to enable the success of others by giving them the tools they need to succeed. You know, sometimes, and this happens all the time in relationships, where, and you can fill in the blank, it doesn't matter what the relationship is, but one party will express certain expectations of the other party. And almost like the mindset is, okay, go and get it done. Go and accomplish what you have to get accomplished. But what we sometimes fail to forget is, if I want someone I love to succeed, I want them to accomplish something, often I have to give them the tools capable of succeeding. So if Moshe Rabbeinu wants Bezalel and Aliyav to build a beautiful Mishkan, he can't just say, get it done. He has to make sure that they have a surplus of gold and silver. The abundance of material will make sure that they could apply their creative talents to creating the most magnificent Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, if you look at number three, the Malbim says, and I group these together, even though the Malbim, you're going to see the Malbim is not saying the same thing as the Sfarno, but I'm grouping them together because they both refer to the building. The Malbim writes, "U'bechol zeh haya hamalachim dayon v'derech hamakin chumrim lemalacha sheyachin osom yoser me'atzorech kidei sheyiyem mimin zeh letakin es asher yitztarech tikun ba'asid amar shamalacha ha'isad dayon bein la'asos hamalacha bein lehosir mashachem lo'osir." So what is this? So the Malbim says something very interesting. Inevitably, what were they going to have to do with the Mishkan structure and the utensils of the Mishkan over time? Right? There's wear and tear. So what happens? You're going to need additional materials for repairs. So says the Malbim something amazing, that when the Torah says Vahamalacha Haisod Dayom, they collected enough materials to build the Mishkan Vahoser, and there was extra. Why do I need the extra? For repairs. That in the event that things would need to be repaired, refurbished in the future, ultimately they would have those reserves. Ultimately, again, what's the lesson in life? The lesson in life is plan ahead. Plan ahead. Because at the end of the day, stuff breaks. Right? And you could apply stuff, whatever you want to fill in that line. This is true on a spiritual level as well. Just as an aside, the Ramchal speaks about this idea that people often assume that you build, that people, let's say it differently, people often assume that one is able to build a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam in times of crisis. So the Ramchal says, generally, that's not true. Meaning, in times of crisis, people need all of their emotional and spiritual reserves to simply keep afloat. The time to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when? When? Times are calm. When times are good. When there's no crisis. I mean, it's hard to find a time in life where there is not a crisis. But I guess we'll call it when there's not an acute crisis. That's the time to build a relationship. A recognition that in life, things will break. Things will break. The Mishkan will break, the roof will break, I will break. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us is that when they built the Mishkan, they built it with this knowledge that repairs will have to be made. So let's prepare for the repairs now. An incredible metaphor for life that recognizes that we all hit life turbulence. At some point in time, the roof of life begins to leak. See, you could wait to repair it and scramble to repair it when it begins to leak, or a person could bolster themselves before the leak begins, before the damage occurs, so that I'm strong enough to repair the breach when it actually occurs. So again, simple approach over here. Svarno Malbim Dayom Bahoser is a directive about the building. Again, Svarno telling us that the builders, Dayom, they had enough to build, but not only did they have enough to build, they had extra. So they didn't have to keep an eye on every single last ounce of gold or silver. They could go ahead and they could build Beravcha. Right? They could build ultimately with an expansiveness. Lesson for us, if you want to accomplish something in the way it's supposed to be accomplished, one has to be given the tools to do so. Malbim, Dayom Bahoser, they had enough to build, plus reserves for repairs. Recognize in life that things, when I say things, I include us in that category as well, will break. Plan ahead. Bolster myself when times are good. Steady myself when times are calm, so that when the repairs do need to be made, I'm ready to make them. Take a look at number four. The second approach. And this is a magnificent Arachaim. The Arachaim writes the following. Dayan Bahoser. So he asks our question, we ask his question. So says the Arachaim, I don't understand, the Torah, the Pasuk is contradicting itself. If there is enough material, then there are no extras. And if there's extra, then it's not simply enough. I'm just skipping a little bit. Again, the Archives, like we said, just leave out the word dayam. Just say that the malacha haisa hoser. That there was additional materials collected. So once you tell me that there are additional materials collected, by definition, I understand that they had what they needed and then some. Vod, kalakasav miyusar. To the Arachaim says, but let's back up for a second. You see, everyone's focused on why does it say dayam vahoser, that there was enough and there was extra. The Arachaim HaKadosh says, I have a more fundamental question, which is, shahari amar lemala, marbim ha'am lahavi midi ha'avod lemalacha. Upshita shelo amru kein at shesharu umatzorach od lomar v'hamalacha haisa dayim v'hoser. Furthermore, again, what did we learn in the previous pasuk? In the previous pasuk, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "There's too much stuff. There's too much stuff. There's too much gold. There's too much silver. There's too much everything. Tell the people to stop bringing." Moshe Rabbeinu puts out the call, "Stop bringing." And then the Torah feels compelled to say, "By the way, they collected enough material, and there was extra." Says the Arachaim, why do I need that pasuk at all? If the Torah already told me that the artisans came to Moshe and said, Moshe, there's too much stuff, tell the people to stop bringing, without the Torah explicitly saying it, I understand. They collected what they needed and additional materials as well. Says the Arachaim HaKadosh, so I don't just have a question as to why it has to say Dayam and Hoser, I have a more fundamental question, which is why the pasuk is here altogether. So look what he writes, and this is quite beautiful. V'ulai, I'm now in number 4, 2, 4, 5 lines down from the top, middle of the line after the period. V'ulai, shiyashmi'enu, ha'kosuv chibas b'nei Yisrael, be'enei ha'makom. Perhaps, again, what the Torah is trying to teach us is the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. The love that God has for His people. How so? Get ready for this. See, here's the interesting part. Let's analyze this for just a moment. If there was extra material, if there was extra gold and extra silver, what does that by definition mean? Think about this for just a moment. So if now there's extra materials being brought, what does that tell you about the contributions of the people? That someone's contribution is not going to be used. Meaning, when the artisans come along and say, Moshe, there's too much gold, for us, that sounds beautiful, it sounds wonderful, but at the end of the day, Reuven, who just went ahead and donated his 5 pounds of gold, when he hears that call, he's going to know that his contribution is not making it into the Mishkan. So look what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says. Ki litzad sheviu Yisrael yoser mishir atzarech, chash Hashem lichvod kol ish shetarcho veheviu, v'nichnas kol amuva beis Hashem emelachas ha-mishkan. Listen to this. Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, there was an incredible miracle. That despite the fact that there was more gold, silver, and every other material that was brought, more than necessary to build the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the miracle and made sure that what? That everything that was collected was included in the Mishkan. V'zeh shir ha-kosuv v'ha-melocha asher tziva Hashem la'asos v'mishkan hispika likonis b'socho kol ha-melocha sh'asu Yisrael ha-gam sh'oser perush sh'haya yoser me'atzarech hispika mekabel lekabel yoser sh'adenei. So the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, this is absolutely amazing. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, go back up to number 1 for just a moment. Back up to number 1. Pasuk Zayin. V'hamalacha ha'isadayom l'chomalacha la'asos osa v'hoser. Says the Aruch Haim means that even though there was yoser, even though there was much more than what they needed, v'hamalacha ha'isadayom, everyone's contribution was included. So the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, what do we learn from this? We learn the incredible love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, that He wanted to make sure that every single person's contribution would be included in the Mishkan. That no one should chas v'shalom feel like they're turned away, that no one should chas v'shalom feel like they're unimportant, that no person should feel like they don't have a chelek, they don't have a portion within the Mishkan. And there are so many beautiful lessons learned from this Aruch Haim. Of course we learn about the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. Whenever God performs a miracle, that miracle is a manifestation of divine love. So at the end of the day, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us is, I love you, I care about you, I value you. What it also tells us is how important it is to make every person's contribution feel valued. Feel a person, what's most important in life is people want to know that they're valued and they're appreciated by others, and what they do is appreciated by others. And you know, sometimes in life, we tend to only value the contributions. When I say contributions, by the way, you know, we're not just referring to money. We're referring to anything. But sometimes we only value the contributions that we deem as necessary. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us is that whenever someone extends the effort to contribute in some way, be makir it. Recognize it. Appreciate it. Whether it's a big contribution or a small contribution. Whether it's a necessary contribution or an unnecessary contribution. Whenever someone extends themselves, always make sure to acknowledge that contribution. Such an incredibly important idea. On both ends, on the Makabel's end, if I'm the receiver, how important it is for me to acknowledge that someone has gone out of their way for me, and from the giver's perspective, how important it is to acknowledge individuals who are giving of themselves, and it's whichever way they're giving it, whether they're giving of their money, their skills, their time, whatever it is, to recognize that contribution. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us. It's an incredible idea. So therefore, the Pasuk is not contradicting itself. The Pasuk is actually telling us, albeit, now, what's interesting is, if you notice, it's, even though this is a miracle, it's very nuanced. Why is it nuanced? Meaning, why doesn't the Torah say this more explicitly?
Nobody will give again.
I'm sorry?
Nobody will give again.
So first of all, again, right, it could be that nobody will give. Again, that is true. It's also, remember, if you're one of the latter givers, you don't want it to be that, oh, my gift was included because God did a miracle. Well, without the miracle, my gift wouldn't have... Hashem Baruch Hu wants everyone to feel a part of this. Hashem Baruch Hu wants everyone to feel appreciated. See, that's what it really comes down to. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us is that it's important to make people feel appreciated. It's important to make people feel that they are value added. And here's the great chap of this. Even if they're not. Even if they're not. Right? At the end of the day, remember, there were people who actively gave additional gold that was not necessary. They didn't need it. They could have built the Mishkan without it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, what's going to happen when Chaim Yankel brings his gold? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, thank you so much, but we're done. What's going to happen to him? What's the impact on that? Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels it necessary to bend the laws of nature for one reason and one reason only, to allow people to feel appreciated. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu bends the laws of nature to allow us to feel appreciated, to allow our gift to be included, to allow us to feel purposeful, how much we must go out of our way to acknowledge one another and to express our gratitude and appreciation to one another, even when the other is doing something for me that I don't necessarily need, or I could have done on my own, or perhaps I don't even need at all. Still, if someone is going out of their way for me, I have to somehow make sure to acknowledge that. That's the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Take a look at number 5. Again, another approach. And remember, the amazing part here, that's what I told you, this is what's amazing about our Torah, how lucky we are. You know, this is one little phrase in an entire parsha, but this one little phrase is oozing with such incredible meaning and relevance. So here, from the Sefer Imrei Das, from Meir Shapir, the Lublino Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, see, he says something absolutely beautiful. See, he says again, Shnei bituyim dayom vahoser einam olim bekana echad. It's like we just said before, right? The word of dayom, the word ultimately that there's enough vahoser and there's extra, they're contradictory. Im dai ein hoser, v'im hoser ze yoser midai. Shnei hafakim binose echad. Two opposite words. Tireis Rav Meir Shapir Lumlin. Listen to this, how beautiful this is. Dayom mibichinas kamusis. Hatrumos bepoel hispiku bidiuk lemelechas hamishkan. Paragraph B. So says the Lublin Rav. Dayom means that literally there was enough. There was enough. Whatever we needed, whatever was needed for the Mishkan, to create the Mishkan, to build the Mishkan, to build the Kohanic clothing, there was enough. Dayam means there was enough material that was collected. Ach adayin nosru mivavim vitosisin belevavos bnei Yisrael kisufim utishukos litrom od vaod. Besez Odlin Rav, something absolutely amazing. That even when the physical donations, material donations ended, Klal Yisrael had a desire to give more and more. Eilu hatrumos shebemachshava uberatzon nichlalu bevehoser. That, says Zulblin Rav, is the meaning of the word vehoser. Listen to how beautiful this is. Zulblin Rav says, v'hamalacha haisodayim, there was enough that was collected. That refers to the physical material collection. They collected enough materials, precious stones, precious fabrics. They collected enough. Vehoser. But even after the people gave, there was a continued desire to keep on giving. There was a continued desire to keep on doing. That's the vahoser. And then there was more. Kishuv, he says, Eilu atrumos b'machshav b'ratzon l'chubo aser. Kishuv, lo hayatzarech b'hen mebechina ma'asit. Now remember again, it's nice they wanted to keep giving, but only one issue, which was, we didn't need anything additional. Achlimros kein, lo holchu li'ibud. But lest you think that that desire to give more is worthless, is meaningless. Share machshava tova kadosh baruch hu mitzarfa lemaisa. The Ribbono Shel Olam takes a good thought, and he counts it as if we've engaged in a good deed. We actually spoke about this a few weeks back. And he goes on to speak about what those thoughts did. So according to Lublin Rav, what's the pasuk telling us? V'hamalachal ha'isodayim, Klal Yisrael fulfilled their mission. We raised enough money in an exceptionally short amount of time to be able to build the Mishkan, create the utensils, and fabricate the Kohanic clothing. But even after that drive, even after that fundraising effort was finished, v'hoser, there was a desire to keep on doing, a desire to keep on giving. Says Lublina Rav, what's the message here? The message here is that good thoughts are, I won't say just as important, but are important just like good deeds. That the Ribono Shel Olam sees our machshavas as well. He sees our thoughts. You know, we often learn about the fact that God sees our thoughts, but we often think about that in the context of sin. But it's important to focus on it in the context of good as well. You know, it's the quote over the Gemara that says, that machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for the Maisa, such an incredible Gemara, that if I have an intention to do something good, now again, if I have intention to do something good, God treats it as if I did something good. So this is very important, because this concept can be very easily misunderstood. It doesn't mean that if I sit on the couch, but I think good thoughts the whole day, mamish, a lot of positive energy happening over here, think about all doing all mitzvahs, no, that you don't get credit for.
If you have negative thoughts all the time, then it is. It's a step up. So it really depends for each person.
You don't get credit for a mitzvah for doing that. It's not a mitzvah.
When you have positive thoughts, it brings it into the world.
Good. It's a good thing. But my point just is, you don't get credit as if you did the mitzvah. You get credit for it. Absolutely. You get credit for anything that's positive. But when the Gemara says that a positive thought counts like a mitzvah, that means if a person wants to do something, but is precluded from doing so, for whatever the reason, some kind of extenuating circumstance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what my ratzon is. He sees what my will is. And if my will is something positive, whatever this means, he gives me credit for the act. What that means, he gives me credit. What type of credit, 100% credit, partial credit, it doesn't really matter for our purposes. Those are the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What matters for our purposes is that positive thoughts and intentions absolutely make a difference. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us over here. V'amalacha hai sadayim. It's beautiful. Klal Yisrael wanted to, and they gave. They gave what they needed to, Vahoser. But even after they gave, there was a desire to do more. There's two lessons here. Lesson number one is the power of positive thought, both in terms of combating negative thought, absolutely, but also the power of positive thought, that sometimes people think that life is like an all or nothing thing. Either I do what I'm supposed to do, or it's either mitzvah or nothing. It's not true. You know, there's a fascinating halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. It's going to sound like a very strange halacha. The Shulchan Aruch talks about that you're not permitted to recite Kriyat Shema in an unclean place. Right? A place where there's an odor, or a place where there's just, human waste around. You can't say Kriyat Shema. So the Mishnah Berurah literally deals with the following case. A person is locked in the bathroom, and Zman Kriyat Shema, the time for Kriyat Shema is coming. So what do? Zman Kriyat Shema is 9:38. I'm locked in the bathroom. It's 9:37. So what am I supposed to do? So again, the simple halachic answer is, right? Ones rachmana patre. There's a concept that when you are the victim of extenuating circumstances, you're exempt from performing a mitzvah. But the Mishnah Berurah says something amazing. The Mishnah Berurah says, just think about how much you want to perform the mitzvah. And he used lashon that the bochin levavos, he who sees into the heart of man, will understand what your intentions are, and he will understand what you want. Now, what does that mean? Do I get credit as if I said Shema? The truth is, how much credit do you get or you don't get? Those questions are not really dealt with by us, because we don't have Kadosh Baruch Hu who works. But I always thought it's such a beautiful sentiment. And the Mishnah Berurah is not a book of hashkafa, it's not a book of philosophical thought, it's halacha. But what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is that sometimes the halachic man loses sight of cognitive man, and recognition that it's not just good deeds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but it's good, positive thoughts as well. That's lesson one. Lesson two, that's one from the Lublina Rav, is to never assume that we've done enough in life. Now, I'm saying this with hesitancy, because a little bit hesitant, because for many people, this is an anxiety-provoking concept. The idea that you could always do better. The idea that I could always do more. So for some people, it's anxiety provoking, because essentially the way they internalize that message is how? I'm not, the more you tell me it's not good enough now. And the truth is, will it ever be good enough? No, because there's always more to do. But that's not the message. The message is, I could do something wonderful. But the beautiful dynamic aspect of life is, there's always more to be done. There's always more to accomplish. There's always more ways to grow. There are always more ways to self-actualize. There are always more ways that I could develop myself as an individual. So the Lublin Rav says something amazing. I might have thought to myself, listen, v'hamalacha ha'isadayim. Right? So can you imagine, Klal Yisrael, we're out of Egypt only a little while, we're recovering from the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf. It's been a really difficult ride. Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and puts out the call for the Mishkan. We rise to the occasion, we bring all of our gold, silver, we roll up our sleeves, we build it. So I would have thought, what happens after the building of the Mishkan? What's the next step? Rest. Who said that? Art, right? A long weekend, right? Maybe just, I don't know, a national barbecue. I don't know what you're going to do, but relax a little bit, right? After all, again, it's been like a major undertaking, a major success. You know, I deserve to relax a little bit. Says the Lubunov, what does the Torah say? V'amalacha ha'isadayim, pretty much right after they realized that they had almost completed the task, v'hoser. What else can we do? What's next? This is the secret of the Jew that the nations of the world never understand, which is, we never stop. There is never a such thing as simply resting on your accomplishments. There's never such a thing as saying, well, you know what, I've reached here, I'm good, and now I'm done. I'm never done. We are only done at one point in time, and that's when? After 120, we're done. We're done in this world, by the way. We just begin the next world. But the mantra of the Jew, says the Lublin Rav, is V'hamalacha ha'isadayim. You did a great job. And right after you tell someone you did a great job, what do you tell them? Next sentence? What's next? Incredible accomplishment. What's next? It creates a model and a paradigm of perpetual growth. Everything has to be about building accomplishment on top of accomplishment on top of accomplishment. There's no time for stagnation, bless you. There's no time to go ahead and assume that I've done enough. Every single accomplishment simply just paves the way for the next one. So v'amalacha ha'isa dayom v'chal amalacha ha'asosos so v'hoser, says Lublin Rav, two lessons. Number one, machshava tova. Good thought is important in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like good deeds. And positive thoughts generate positivity. It's such an important idea. People think that this is like a New Age concept, that, you know, positive thinking creates positive energy. Klal Gadol, one thing to always remember is, we had everything first. So anything that sounds, wow, that's really interesting, that you hear, you do a little bit of research and you will see that Yiddishkeit Judaism had it first. The notion that positive thoughts create an air of positivity. You know, the Lublin Rav goes on, I'll say this outside, he says something amazing. He says, do you know, there's a concept that Avir Azara Kazar, the Lublin Rav says, that the airspace of the courtyard of the Mishkan has the status of the Mishkan itself. That has many different halachic ramifications, not going to get into right now. So why is it that the Avir, the airspace of the Azara, is Kodesh? The Lublin Rav says that's the result of the positive thoughts of Klal Yisrael. You know, the handiwork of Klal Yisrael, the actions of Klal Yisrael, created the Kedusha of the structure. The positive thoughts of Klal Yisrael, the desire to do more, to be more, that sanctified the airspace. Positive thoughts have a positive impact upon ourselves and upon those around us. Even if you can't quantify it, even if it's not tangible, it creates a cocoon. It creates almost like, it envelops you in a positive energy. Now, lesson number two says, Lublin Rav, never rest on your accomplishments. V'amalacha ha'isadayim, great job. Lahoser, what's next? And finally, we're going to come to our last approach for this evening. So actually, I'm going to skip number six, because truth is upon review. It doesn't, we're going to focus on number seven a little bit more. Actually, I'm sorry, second to last approach for this evening. So look at number seven. This is from Rav Schwab. Mayam Beis HaShev. So Rav Schwab Zecher Tzadik Livracha writes the following. He says, V'amalacha ha'isadayim, l'chal amalacha la'asos osa v'hoser. So he quotes an amazing Medrash. The Medrash writes, it's in the first paragraph in number seven. U'b'medrash, Amrli Moshe laKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said to Hashem, "Asinu es hamalach es melachas hamishkan va'osarnu." So Moshe says to God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "We have built the Mishkan, and good news, there's leftover materials. So ma na'ase benosar." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "What should we do with the extras?" Remember, this is different than the Arachayim HaKadosh, because the Arachayim HaKadosh says, "Remember what happened to the extras? It was built in. It was used. So the medrash, apparently different medrash. It wasn't, what should we do with the extra? Amar lo asei lecha bahem mishkan le'edus. Go ahead and make a, now mishkan literally means a tabernacle, a temporary structure. Le'edus. Edus means what? Right, literally means testimony. But what does it refer to specifically? Usually again, it's called the luchos ha'edus. Make a mishkan for the Torah. Okay, this is very strange. So the Medrash seems to indicate that God tells Moshe, I want you to take all of the leftover money, all the leftover stuff, and apparently make another, it sounds like make another Mishkan. Make a Mishkan Le'edos. So asks Rav Schwab, where do we ever see that Moshe Rabbeinu made a secondary structure with the leftover gold, silver, and other materials? Look what he writes, second paragraph. V'itach in the Farish. It would appear. Shahari Mishkan nikra Mishkan Ha'edos. Ashim sheyesh bo ha'aron ha'kodesh sheyesh bo luchos ha'edos. Remember, the Mishkan itself is often referred to as the Mishkan Ha'edos. Literally, again, the tabernacle of the Edos of the testimony. Because the primary part of the Mishkan was what? Was the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies. Primary part of the Holy of Holies was? The Aron. And the primary part of the Aron were? The Luchos. V'nimtza, shekedushas ha'mishkan yonekes mikedushas ha'torah. V'chinu v'beis olamim, sha'aron habris ha'yamunach b'kodesh ha'kadoshim, v'achar kach nignaz b'mekomo dafka. So remember again, therefore says Rosh Hashanah, it turns out that for the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, the ikar, the primary part of both of these structures, was the Aron and by extension the Torah. Skip the brackets. V'ini achiluk b'in Torah v'avoda. So it's a very interesting distinction between Torah and sacrificial service. What's the distinction? Sha'avoda yesh la shi'urim v'agbalos. Vatorihi aruka me eretz mida uruchava mineyam. The interesting part is that the sacrificial service has a framework and has limitations. For example, I'm not a Kohen, which means I can't do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, when you shech the karban, you can only eat for a certain amount of time. There are a whole variety of different laws. So karbanos, sacrificial service, operates in a very structured and strict framework. Torah, on the other hand, is expansive. He goes on. For example, karbanos, sacrifices, can only be offered by day, but yet Torah should be learned by day and night. Left hand paragraph. So the beautiful idea, says Rav Schwab, the imagery over here is that Klal Yisrael, when they began to build the Mishkan, so what happens? They reached a level where they had brought enough to build the Mishkan, to create the framework for sacrificial service, because sacrificial service has a framework. But yet, amazingly enough, they continued to bring, and that additional bringing, says Rav Schwab, corresponds to Torah, because Torah has no limitations. Now, let's make this a little bit tighter. Look at the last paragraph. V'zeh she'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, asei lohem mishkan le'edos. This is what the Medrash means when it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to make for them a Mishkan Le'edos. What does that mean? Perish. Taniach es ha-noser. Ki al yidei ha-noser na'asa ha-mishkan le-mishkan ha-edos. Ha-miyusat al-kidushas ha-torah. V'chol avodas ha-kabar she-mishkan to-otsa mi-kidushas ha-torah she-miskal bar ha-kabar. It's going to be two more lines and I'll explain it. Hein torah she-vechsav she-shorosh she-beluchos ha-edos. V'sefer torah munachem ba-aron. Hein torah she-ba-peh. Bibi umash she-viu ha-mistandin dai va-hoser. Tashir ba-otser le-samein sha-mishkan. So this is actually quite beautiful. Says Rav Schwab something amazing. V'hamalacha ha'isadayim refers to the physical construction of the Mishkan. And specifically, when we talk about physical construction of the Mishkan, what we are ultimately referring to is what? Sacrificial service. Sacrificial service has a framework. Has a framework. By the way, we know this because what happens when you try to break with the framework of sacrificial service? Right. Remember, we're going to learn about this in a few weeks in Parashat Shemini. Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu decided to change or to modify the framework of sacrificial service. You can't do that. There's a framework in which much exists. So that's what it means. V'amalacha ha'isadayim. The Mishkan required a certain amount of gold, a certain amount of silver, a certain amount of copper. They brought it and they built it. V'hoser. But what do the extra contributions, what do those represent? Rav Schwab wants to suggest that those represent Torah. that represents the idea that Torah is without boundaries, that Torah is boundless, that Torah exists. You could have as much of Torah as you want. Not only that, but remember, unlike sacrificial service, which is limited to certain individuals, i.e. Shevet Levi, certain times, i.e. during the day, Torah ultimately is accessible at all times. So what is Rav Schwab driving at over here? What's happening? So what's amazing over here is the following. You know, that there's a danger with building a Mishkan. What's the danger with building a Mishkan? What's the danger? Sorry? So first of all, again, you could look at the Mishkan as the ends, excellent, as the deity. What else? Take that a little bit further. Even if you don't worship as a god.
You give over your spiritual responsibility and say that they're going to take care of it.
Oh, right? The Levim have it. The Kohanim are going to take care of it. And what ends up happening is you begin to go ahead and tether your spirituality to a structure. And you begin to say, in a Mishkan, I'm holy. Outside of a Mishkan, I'm not holy. And that's very dangerous. Because the spirituality of the Jew, is not tethered to any structure. Or to them. Remember, we learned this a few weeks ago, the Ish Kodesh, right? The Piagetzna said that this is why the Torah was given in the desert, in the middle of nowhere. Remember again, he quoted the idea, Shlo ye lipcha chalok ala makom. If Torah was given in Yerushalayim and Harabayis, I would have thought that there's only Torah, there's only spirituality in Yerushalayim and Harabayis. Torah was given in the middle of nowhere to teach us the idea that Torah is not tethered to any particular place or any particular location. Says Rav Schwab, in the midst of the celebration of constructing the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach Klal Yisrael a very important lesson. V'hamalacha ha'isadayim. Yes, the Mishkan is incredible. It gives you the framework for sacrificial service. It gives you a framework for divine service. But v'hoser, there's something additional. What's the additional item to which we are referring to? Torah. And you know what the beautiful part of Torah is? Torah transcends all time. You can learn it day and night. Torah transcends all places. Torah transcends all experiences. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, and this is amazing, you see this throughout the Torah. The Ribono Shel Olam, you know, we spoke about before, about bolstering yourself spiritually in times of good, in good times. The Ribono Shel Olam does this all the time. Every single time God gives us something beautiful, He also tells us, by the way, I'm not going to say it explicitly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but I'm going to give you a nuanced understanding. You're not going to have it forever. And so I'm preparing you for life without this gift. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a beautiful Mishkan. Va'asuli mikdash shashachanti b'sochem, a beautiful Mishkan. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also preparing us for life post-Mishkan. For life post-Mikdash. You see, the life of the Mishkan, the life of the Mikdash is v'hamalacha ha'isadayim. It's beautiful to have that sacrificial framework. But what's the life of post-Mishkan, post-Mikdash? V'hoser. You have to go ahead and connect to that thing that's abundant. You have to connect to that thing that is not tethered to any geography or any particular circumstance, and that's Torah. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us is, as wonderful as a Mishkan is, please understand that your spirituality does not depend on a building, does not depend on a structure. You know, Soloveitchik talks about this. The Kapitel in Tehillim says, Mizmar li Asaf, Elokim ba'u goyim b'nachal asecha, timu eshecha lecha, samu es Yerushalayim le'iyim. A song to Asaf, God, the Gentiles have entered into your temple, laid it to waste, and have destroyed Jerusalem. So the Gemara says, Mizmar li Asaf? Why do you call that a song to Asaf? The Gemara says, Kina the Asaf mi barley. It should be a dirge, a lamentation. And Rav Soloveitchik says something amazing. Rav says that, you know, when the walls of Yerushalayim were breached in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. We thought that literally our nation was coming to an end. But when we saw that God vented his fury on sticks and stones on a temple, we breathed the sigh of relief. Right? Why do we breathe a sigh of relief? Because here's the great part about buildings. Right? I'm heavily involved in this parasha. Here's the great part about building. What's the great part about buildings? You could always rebuild one. And it doesn't matter how beautiful the building is or how magnificent. You know what? If you have money and you have resources, you could always rebuild it if you need to. A nation much more difficult. So says it of something amazing, that the moment we saw that the brunt of divine fury was being vented against the structure of our beloved Beis HaMikdash, sounds strange, we were happy. Because the building could absorb the anger, which means we will still live. We will still exist. That's why the Rav points out, just an aside, that's why, interesting, ironically enough, the mourning practices of Tisha B'Av begin to lessen when? At what point? At Chatzos, midday of the 9th of Av. And ironically, when was the Beis HaMikdash set ablaze? In the afternoon of the 9th of Av. So we begin to lessen our mourning practices at the very moment that the Beis HaMikdash was set ablaze. Sounds counterintuitive. We're mourning the Beis HaMikdash. We're not mourning the Beis HaMikdash. To a certain degree, it sounds strange to say there's an element of relief when it's the Beis HaMikdash that burns down and not Klal Yisrael. So Rav Schwab says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us that message. This is amazing. This is incredible. But Vehoser, there's something even better than the Mishkan. And what's better than the Mishkan? What's better than the Mishkan ultimately is Torah. Because what Torah gives us is the prism, is the ability, is the avenue of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever and whenever we are. You know, there's an amazing idea, and then we'll go on. It's an amazing idea. Rabbi Yitzchak Berdichev quotes the idea by Simchas Torah. He says, why is it that Simchas Torah is called Simchas Torah? So people think, again, because we're finishing the Torah, beginning the Torah, the Rebbe says something different. The Rebbe says, you know, when we get to Simchas Torah, the Jew is a little bit depressed. Why am I depressed? Because here, you know, and it's true, you really feel it, that you're coming off like 2 months of extended spiritual elevation. I had Chodesh Elul, which is an incredible month, an uplifting month. I go then into Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, the period between Yom Kippur and Sukkis, Chol HaMoed, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, amazing. And then when, and each of those times has a different and distinct mitzvah associated with it. And then I come to this last day, for us, this ninth day of Yom Tiv, and what do I have on it? What am I supposed to do? And the truth is, says Rabbi Yitzchak, the Jew is a little bit despondent. They had all these mitzvos. So says Rabbi, what's Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah says, and he says something so beautiful. He says, you know, if I miss the shofar, you know, all I have to do, says the Rebbe, is I could open up Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and I could learn about the shofar. I could open up the Shulchan Aruch, and I could learn the halachas of shofar. When I learn those halachas, it's as if I'm experiencing the mitzvah. And if I miss the sukkah, I could open up Maseches Sukkah, I could open up Hilchos Sukkah, and what Torah allows me to do is experience everything I want to in my Judaism, even though, again, I'm at a totally different calendrical part of the year. So says Rav Schwab, that's what's happening over here. V'hamalacha ha'isadayim. The Mishkan is incredible, but v'hoser. There's something even, I'm going to use the word, better. There's something even more magnificent. There's something even more special, and that's Torah. Because whereas the Mishkan is a defined physical space that only exists in a particular place and only in a particular time, Torah is something that we carry with us and take with us everywhere and gives us the ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu under all circumstances. Take a look at number 8. And with this, we'll conclude for tonight. So the last approach for this evening, and again, remember, the amazing part is all based on one little phrase in the Pasuk. So last approach, number 8. Everything they brought, there was enough. What does it mean that there was additional stuff? Listen to this. How do you translate that phrase? Wherever there is bracha, yesh bo husra. What does that mean? There's extra. So it sounds like wherever there is bracha, there's extra, there's excess. So again, what this sounds like is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives bracha, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not simply give bracha, in what we call betzimtzum, just exactly what we need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives bracha berafcha, always gives expansive, voluminous amount of bracha. So the Medrash is saying, "V'hamelacha ha'isadayim v'hoser," means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us bracha, there's always excess. There's always more. And we know this. For example, when Klal Yisrael left Egypt, right, we didn't just leave with some wealth. We didn't just leave with 210 years of back pay. Right? We left with an incredible amount of wealth, vast amounts of wealth. Wherever there is blessing, it sounds like there's excess. But perhaps the Medrash is saying something a little bit different. Perhaps the Medrash is saying is the following. Not wherever there's bracha, there's excess, but rather, and this I think is a very important yisod, what's our goal in life? You know, some people say, you know, we say, Ezehu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. So often the way people internalize that idea is, I'm going to be happy with what God gave me because that's what God gave me. Would I like more? Of course I'd like more. But I'm going to go ahead and condition myself to be happy with what I have. I'm going to resign myself to this is what I have. Perhaps what the Medrash is saying is, the pinnacle of accomplishment in life is when I realize that what I have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just enough, but it's excess. That if I really look at the brachos that I have in life, it's not just that God has given me enough, but the Rebbe Shalom has given me even more than I could possibly imagine. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me even more than perhaps I deserve. Even more that I should be entitled to. Even more that I appreciate this. Where do we first see this contrast? Take a look at number 9. Vayomer Esav, remember again. So Parshas Vayishlach, the fateful encounter between the brothers. Esav says to his brother, Yesh li Rav. Right? I have a lot, achi. Yehi lecha asher lach. Remember, this is after Yaakov sent all of the sheep and everything else to Esav. So what does Esav say to his brother? What does he say? Yaakov, yesh li rav. I have a lot. I have a lot already. I don't need your gift. Vayomer Yaakov, alma, please my brother. Im no matza sichin b'necha ve'lakachti mincha si miyadi, ki al kein ra'isi p'necha kir'os p'nei alukim. They're saying, please my brother, it's a covet, it's an honor, allow me to give it to you. But look at the next pasuk 11, Yud Aleph. Kach no es birchasi asher hu vasalach. Take what I am giving to you, ki chanani elokim. God has given me so much, and what? V'chi yesh li kol. You see, there is seen an Esav and the Yaakov. Esav says, I have a lot. But what's inferred in that phrase, I have a lot? But I could have more. Could have more, right? Could always have more. I mean, would it be nice to have a few more heads of cattle, a few more oxen, another couple of cars, a bigger house, more clothing, more... I mean, again, don't get me wrong. Very appreciative for what I have. Yeshli Rav, I have a lot. But we've also got vast storehouses of bracha. I'm certainly open and ready for more. What does Yaakov Avinu say? Yeshli kol. Meaning, it's not just the pshat that I'm happy with what I have. I literally feel like I have everything. I feel like I am missing nothing. I feel like I am not deficient at all. You see, so many people walk through life saying, I'm going to be content with what I have. I am. I'm working on feeling content, but I feel deficient. I'd like to have more. I would like to possess more. The midah that we're supposed to aspire to is a midah of not yesh li rab, not I have a lot, thank you God, but, parentheses, I can always use a little bit more. We are supposed to emulate the model of Yaakov Avinu, of Yesh Li Kol. And this is an incredible level to reach, where it's not just that I'm Sameach Bechelki, not just that I'm happy with what I have, but literally I feel like I'm not deficient in any way. I don't mean like on a spiritual, we're talking about materially over here. That I feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me everything I need and more in order to accomplish what I need to do in life, says the Medrash. That's the pshat. V'hamelocha ha'isodayim l'chol ha'melocha. Vahoser, what's the dramatic idea over here? The dramatic idea over here is the people just parted with an incredible amount of money. With an incredible amount of money. And yet, despite that, they didn't feel a loss. They didn't feel any aching gap. They didn't feel like they were any more deficient. But rather, what did they feel? They actually felt enriched. They actually felt not yesh li rav, but they felt yesh li kol. Yes?
They left Mitzrayim with all this stuff. It's not really theirs. Wasn't that the reason they left in time with it, so they would be able to do this? So?
Yeah, but nobody told them that. And by the way, that argument that it's not theirs, so that lasts for about 10 minutes, right? Then, once it's yours, and it's in your donkey, and it's in your tent.
Stuff, And the same amount?
That I don't know.
With this and some leave with that.
I can't imagine everybody left with the same amount of stuff. There must have been some type of distinction between the groups. Everybody left wealthy, but by Yom Sof also they got donkeys. Donkeys. Right? We're Jews. We are very resourceful with these things. Right, donkeys. So you understand what the Medrash is teaching is such a profound idea. In life you have a choice. And by the way, Esav is very righteous for his statement as well. Yesh li rav, acknowledging that I have a lot, is a big level also, but there's something even higher than Yesh li rav. And that's Yesh li kol. So to bring this all together, what comes out from this little pasuk, of Hamalacha Haisadayim L'chala Hamalacha La'asos V'hoser, we learn so many beautiful lessons. We learn from the Svarna, ultimately again, that if you want people to be successful in life, give them the tools for success. We learn from the Malbim that don't wait for things to break. Know they're going to break, whether it's your stuff or whether it's yourself. Prepare yourself in good times that I'm able to cope with the breakage, that I'm able to cope with the difficulties. We learn from the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, every person matters. And our goal in life is to make others in our life feel like they matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of our way to make us feel like we matter. We have to go out of our way to acknowledge the contributions of others. And again, I'm not just talking about money, but go out of our way to acknowledge the contributions of others, big and small. We start from the Lublina Rav, that ultimately, again, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for in life is not simply positive deeds, but positive thoughts. And positive thoughts matter. Positive thoughts create positive energy, and positive energy creates positivity in this world. It's the positive thoughts of Klal Yisrael that created the Kiddusha in the airspace of the Mishkan. From the Lublin Rav, we also learn that V'hamalach Haisadayim, no matter how many great accomplishments you have, there's always room for more. Like Jell-O, right? There's always room for Jell-O. There's always room for more accomplishments. It's wonderful to accomplish wonderful things in life, but never chas v'shalom, rest on your laurels, rest on your accomplishments. When you do something great, wonderful, v'hoser, what's next? And finally, we learn from Rav Schwab the idea that as beautiful as the Mishkan is, Chodesh Baruch Hu has given us even a greater gift, and that's the gift of Torah, because that gift transcends all time, and that gift transcends all geographic limitations. And finally, we learn from the Medrash that halavai we should be zocher to reach the level where we realize that not only do we have a lot of bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only do we ultimately have yesh li rav, but halavai we should reach the level of yesh li kol, to recognize that although I don't own everything, no one owns everything, I have, see, here's the idea, you could have everything even if you don't own everything. You could have everything even if you don't own everything. That's the Jew, yesh li kol. That's the yesod v'hamalacha haisadayim v'hoser. That the Jew, when he thinks, he or she thinks about all the brachos that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we come to the realization that even though we may actually be lacking certain things in life, not only do we have what we need for our malacha, not only do we have what we need to be successful in life, but v'hoser. We have so much additional bracha as well. All right, so stop over here for this evening. Just an important announcement. There is no shir for the next 2 weeks. So, Mirat Hashem, we're going to continue the Wednesday before Purim. The Wednesday before Purim, I guess the date is the 22nd. Oh, it's Tanis Esther? Okay, so there's going to be a pre-Purim shir. Just stay tuned for the date in Mirat Hashem. So I have one more shir, Mirat Hashem, before Purim. All right. Thank you.